All right, so this morning we're beginning a brand new series. It's called Vision 2020. And I want you to know that I truly believe that the decisions that are made from in this church, in this sanctuary, are going to impact lives for eternity. And it's all going to come down to a decision that each of us make. God is going to challenge us today. And he's going to ask us to step up to the plate and to be his representatives in a world that is lost. All right, now, I brought some toys with me, but one of the things that I wanted just you to be aware of, and that is that some are going to fall over. That's all right. We'll let them go there. One of the things is that, and I know this, I'm just going to say it, I'm going to turn 60 this year. Now, I know some of you are saying, sweetheart, he doesn't look more than 35, but I want you to know that that's just not true. But you know what that means? That means that I got to go take a driver's test. It means I got to go and I got to do this. How many of you remember this? Oh, yeah. Okay, so I want you to know, and I'm just going to be honest with you. If you think I'm pastor, perfect, you know what? I'm going to disappoint you today. But I remember when my vision was kind of going this way and that way, and I had taken a vision test, I went in and I saw the chart and I memorized the letters. I'm just telling you, okay? So I went in and everybody that said hi to me, I said, hi, B-A-C-D-Z-F, B-A-C-D-Z-F, okay? But you know what the worst part was? When they told me, we want you to read line 4, I was like, wait a minute, I memorized line 5. I know that, I don't know what it is, but maybe it's because when we have to think that we're going to wear glasses or whatever, that it shows a sign of our age. But what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about vision, because when I go and I look at my driver or get my driver's license and I take my vision test, I want it to look like this. I want it to be so bold that I can see it clearly without anything that could hinder my vision. Amen? All right, now. So, I can remember the exact day and the place it happened. I was an associate pastor here. I was just sitting in my office, which is Corey's office right now. And I was doing some studying, and as I was looking at some of the small print, I had a little hard time seeing it. So I kind of did one of these, and it didn't get any better. And then I looked at the wall, and I had one of those dimmer switches, and guess what? It wasn't turned all the way up. So I went over to the dimmer switch, and I turned it up, and guess what? Ah, problem solved. Well, you know what? As time went on, my vision kind of started to get a little bit worse. And so I remember I called Ron, our maintenance guy. I go, Ron, can you come into my office? Sure. He comes in there and I go, hey, do you have any brighter light bulbs? And he goes, well, Pastor, these are the brightest light bulbs we have. I go, do you have spotlights? Isn't it amazing what we will do so that we can see clearly? I wear glasses now so I can see fine print. So what that means is that when Lori and I go to a restaurant, if I don't have my glasses with me, and I forget them a lot, you know what I'll say to her? I'll say, Lori, can I borrow your glasses? Now, what I want you to know is that I want to see so clearly that when I borrow her glasses, I don't care how I look. So here's something that I learned. I didn't realize how much vision I'd lost until someone showed me what I could not see. I'm going to say that again. I didn't realize how much vision I'd lost until someone showed me what I could not see. We talk about vision a lot, don't we? And the reason is because vision is not just about eyesight. Vision is how I see things in my future. Vision is a preferred future, right? It's what I want to know. And here's the thing that I want you to understand is that this vision that God has given to me is tied to a scripture verse, okay? Watch this. Vision is a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by the conviction that it should be. So when you think about what your life is going to be in the future, all of us here should begin to see a clear mental picture of what that future looks like. So let me ask you, how many of you want to make your life matter? Raise your hand. How many of you want to make a difference in somebody else's life? We all do, right? Now look at this. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my verse. That's my life verse. That's my vision verse for my future. And here's what I learned from this verse. Bob Beckler died. And I want you to know that there was a time about 20 years ago where I took a little matchbook box and I put my picture in that matchbook box. And I put some of those things in there that represented some of my struggles in life, and I buried it. I had a funeral for Bob Beckler because according to this verse, I no longer live. You see, my friends, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he died on the cross, and he died on the cross for my sins. He died on the cross for every sin I've committed in the past, and he's died on the cross for every sin that I've committed in the future. And because I am a follower of Jesus Christ, because I am one of his children, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. But I want you to understand something that I've learned about this verse. This verse is not about the past. This verse is not about the future. This verse is about the present. It's about how I live my life each and every day. And depending on how I live my life today, my life and others are impacted for the future and for the eternity. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in people's lives, and I know you do too. Look at this scripture verse here. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Now, I want you to understand something very carefully. When I talk about that scripture verse being my scripture verse, I want you to know, as I share with you, I have a purpose, and you have a purpose too. People sometimes say, well, where did you come up with this? How did you get this? I didn't have to come up with it because it was given to me. It's in here. It's in my heart. It's what gets me up every morning. I want my life to matter. Now, why is that? Because the scriptures tell me in this that my life is to bring glory to my heavenly Father. Everything on this earth is to bring glory to our heavenly Father. It's not about me. It is all about him. And the fact that God has given me a desire to serve him is just simply a reminder that I belong to him. You know, sometimes people will say, well, a vision is like looking through a microscope. Well, I don't think that's true because in a microscope, when you look at things, you enlarge them. They become bigger. What I want us to understand is that my life is like a telescope. All the telescope does is it reveals the beauty that is already there. You see, in my life, what God has called me to do is to reflect his beauty. And when people look at me, when people look at you, when people look at this church, you know what God wants them to see? Jesus. They want to see his best, to see the love of him in us. They want us to see what Jesus looked like when he walked on this earth. That's our purpose. That's our reason for living. What I want to do is I want to share with you something about what this looks like in even a deeper sense, and that looks like this. Man was created from the beginning in God's image that he might image forth God's glory. So here's what I want you to know. I remember many times now with our grandchildren, even with our children, sometimes I go in there and just watch them sleep. And you know what? As I watch them sleep, they bring me glory. They make me happy. They make me feel proud. And they make me feel I am so blessed. And that's what God wants to do and how he sees each of us. When he looks at us and how we live our lives, he smiles because he loves us and he's proud of us, and especially when we are doing what he has called and purposed us to do. But here's the other part of it. God didn't tell us or call us to do it alone. He purposed us to do it together. You know, one person can accomplish a little, but a lot of people can accomplish a lot, right? I remember, and this is one of my favorite stories, I remember when I was been at the Holy Cross teaching for 11 years, and I had resigned there, and I was getting ready to go and teach at collegiate. And then I heard about three guys. I heard about Pete Oakes, I heard about Bill Nath, and I heard about Bob Smith. And what I heard was that they were starting a new Christian high school. Ooh, that intrigued me. I love to teach, and I was already getting to teach at a high school, and now the opportunity to sit and to be able to teach at a Christian high school. So I got a chance to sit down and talk with them, but I'll never forget the day. It was at 21st and Rock, and we went over, and they were interviewing me. And there were four of them. There were the three guys who were the starters of the school, and then there was Ken Anderson, who was the principal. So we had some small talk and things like that. And then you know what I saw them do? They said, let's begin. And when they began, you know what they did? They all got down on their knees. Something hit me then. And what hit me was is that I was in the presence of a God-sized vision. It started out as a concern. It moved to a dream. And now it was a vision. And so I remember that they hired me in July, and I didn't know it then, but they needed 60 students to start, and they weren't even halfway there. I think the plan was that the school didn't start it, they were all going to hire the teachers as a part of their businesses. But even as they were challenged, they continued to be on their knees. So the first day of school came, and we had just over 60 students. And then one of them was asked to leave, and then we were down to 60, so we got exactly what they wanted. But I can remember, as we talked about what God was wanting to do, something happened in our hearts. My office is now the maintenance room down here at the end of the hallway. And you know what we did? I remember Pete walked me down that long hallway. I had never been to this church before. And he put me in an office, and in there was a desk. And he gave me a yellow pad of paper. He gave me a pencil. There was a phone in there. And he said, build us an athletic program. But I want you to understand something. It wasn't hard to do because I had caught their vision. And you know what we did? We started having dreaming nights. We invited the people in, and all we talked about is things that could be. I remember in that gym, it was carpet. We dreamed about the day where we didn't have carpet on our gym floor. I can remember that during practices, there was a men's basketball team in one part. There was a girls' basketball team on the other part. There were the pom-pom girls and the cheerleaders on the other part. And there was Noah's Ark on the other part. And nobody cared. We were just happy to be there. One of our dreams was that someday we would have uniforms. We got together and we began to talk about different things. And then somebody said, what about that day when we win a first state championship? We're going to win a swimming championship. We're going to win a soccer championship. We're going to win a basketball championship. And you know what happened? There was this energy, this fuel that came among us. And you know what? We started working towards it. That was over 25 years ago when we started those dreaming meetings. Well, watch what's happened since then. Now listen, that's the power of a vision. When people come together and lives are being changed for Jesus Christ because a few people that God had put a vision on their hearts and they began to pray and seek God, and now the school is thriving and doing well. That's the result of a vision. But here's something even more funny, is that during that time when Promise Keepers was going strong, how many of you went to Promise Keepers? A lot of you did, right? And I'm sitting in there, and Lori's talking. All of a sudden, Lori comes to me one day, and she goes, I think we're supposed to do something about a women's group for Heritage Keepers. We're supposed to do some kind of a women's conference. And I'm going, what? And I remember it was in a basketball game. We were at Caldwell. We were in the South Border Tournament. And while we were there, I remember it was a timeout. We were in overtime against Caldwell. And as I'm drawing out this play, the Lord comes to me and says, you need to listen to Lori. I want you to do that. You see, God knows how to get our attention. Now, I want you to know something. The first conference was right here in this building. And you know what? We had a pretty good attendance. And then we had two conferences. Well, you know what? It didn't go so good. But we continued to seek God. And you want to know what happened? Look at this. Here's the next one. Now, here's what I want to say to you. God is looking for individuals who want to make a difference for him. And I can tell you right now, what he is calling us to do is our sacrifice will be the greatest sacrifice you ever have to make. He's asking you to lay your life on the line. He's asking you to give all of your finances for his purposes. He's asking you to give your time, your energy. Why? So that others might know who Jesus Christ is. And the result of the sacrifice that we make is lives are changed for eternity. That's the challenge that God has given to us here today and has been giving throughout time. Now look at this verse. In Romans it says, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Here's what God is saying. God is saying that all of us individuals who want to have a purpose in life are to come together as a body of Christ and use our gifts and use our purposes for one purpose, and that's to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know what that looks like, all you have to do is look at this picture. This started from a concern. There wasn't enough room in the church. And so a man went out and he began to pray in the fields. When he came to pray in the fields, the farmer said, no, you can't have this field. But Pastor Ray and the Church of Central Community, that persisted, and they believed God. And what is the result? Look at that. Can you imagine what would happen? We wouldn't be here if those people didn't have a dream and a vision for what God could do through this church. Now, here's what I want to leave you as we go into our scripture verse, and I want you to think about this. When your yesterday looks better than your tomorrow, you are living in slavery. You know what that means? That means that if we get all on the same page and we bow down before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the best days of this church are yet to come. So stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from Matthew 4, verse 19, listen to these words. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that today that you would help me to see more clearly and with clarity my part in your grand scheme to bring Jesus to a lost world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we all know that when it comes to improving your vision, that doctors prescribe glasses and contact lenses, right? And also, we also know that the size of the glasses is not what it's about to make your vision improve, right? It's the shape of the lens. You see, the shape of the lens takes the fragmented and fractured life and it brings it together and it focuses on the right place in your retina so that you can see and your vision is improved. So the reason that we have glasses is so that we can see clearly. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to make sure that we can see clearly what God has given to us as a church to do, right? All right, now, one of the things that we know is that the churches, in the Christian churches in the world today, all of our vision and mission statements come around one scripture verse, okay? If it's a Christian church, if it's a body of who follows Jesus Christ, all of them basically come after this verse. Here's what it is. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is what we call the Great Commission. But this is also, ladies and gentlemen, what Jesus calls the church's marching orders. And the Bible tells us that we are called to make disciples. And this is what a disciple is. A disciple is a learner who seeks to become like the one whom he is following. And so if you are a disciple of Jesus, you basically begin to look like him. A disciple is when you look like the person you're following. So if you want to know what you look like, ask somebody to describe you a little bit and you will know exactly what it is that you are following. So what is Jesus saying here? He is simply saying here is that I want you to look like Jesus and I want you to make others look like him too. And here's the way we do it. We do it by going, baptizing, and teaching. So this is what that means. When the Bible says go, it means we can't sit here. It means we must go into the world. That means it starts in our family. That means it goes into our neighborhoods. It goes into our communities. It goes into our businesses. It goes into wherever we are. Jesus says you have to go. Okay? The second thing that we have to do is we have to baptize. And baptism is simply a way that we identify with Jesus. Here's an example of what I mean. I wear a wedding ring, okay? This wedding ring tells everybody that I'm married. This wedding ring tells everybody I'm married to Lori Beckler. I belong to her. She belongs to me. That's why we baptize. Jesus commanded us to baptize. And when we are baptized, guess what? We identify with Jesus. And here's the next thing we do. The Bible says that we're supposed to teach. Well, what do you mean by that? It means that we are supposed to teach. We are to help people understand and learn about who Jesus is, what he's done, and how they apply it to their lives. That's what we've been called to do. Now, what I want you to know is that this is what Jesus was telling his disciples. But he didn't go out to them and he say, hey, Simon, hey, James, hey, John, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He didn't do that. What did he do? He just simply said this, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. Do you understand what Jesus did? Jesus took this huge vision that he had and he made it something very simple that his disciples could understand. Think about this, Abraham. God came to Abraham and he did not say, hey, Abraham, listen, you're going to be the father of a great nation. And you and your wife, you're going to have a little boy. His name is going to be Isaac. One day, I'm going to ask you to take him up to Mount Moriah, and I'm going to ask you to sacrifice him on that mountain. And then after that, what's going to happen is you're going to have a family, and you know what? You're going to have some problems in that family, and that family's going to grow so that 2,000 years from now, you're going to be called the father. He didn't do any of that, did he? You know what God said to Abraham first? Abraham, leave your family and go to a place that I will show you. Remember Moses? When God came and he spoke to Moses, he didn't say to him, hey, Moses, listen, I've got big plans for you. You're going to be known throughout history as a friend of God. But boy, you're going to have to go through it. I'm going to send you to Egypt, and you know what? They're going to do all kinds of plagues. On the last plague, you know what? They're going to ask you to leave. You're going to take all of the silver, the gold. You're going to go, and you know what? You're going to come to the great Red Sea, and they're going to be pursuing you. But you know what? I'm going to save you from that, and you're going to cross. Oh, and by the way, you're going to have all these millions of people, so you're going to have to come up with food. You're going to come up with water. He didn't say any of that, did he? All he said to Moses was this: I want you to go, represent me in front of my people, and I want you to bring them to this mountain so you can worship me. Do you remember the young man who was in the Decapolis? And he was filled with demons. Everybody was afraid of him. And do you remember after Jesus had healed him, he came to Jesus. And you remember what he said? Let me go with you. And what did Jesus say? No. But he didn't say, hey, listen, you are now going to be used to represent all of the Gentiles in the feeding of the 4,000. So on such and such a date, we're going to meet at this place, and I need you to have at least 4,000 people there, and that's men alone. And you know what? We're going to have a little bit of food. We're not going to have enough, but you know what? We're going to make sure God's going to bless it, we're going to have enough, and there are going to be many who are going to come to know me. He didn't tell them that, did he? All he simply said was this: go tell your family what Jesus has done for you. You see, Jesus just simply, for the disciples, he clarified their purpose. And the only thing that changed, well, what was on the end of their hook? Jesus had given them what he wanted them to do, and here's what he was saying to you. Guys, from now on, through the nets of the preaching of the gospel, you are going to catch believers just like you did the fish in the world. And that's why churches do what they do with their vision statements. They make them simple so that people can understand them. You should be able to say it in less than 30 seconds and describe exactly what it is that we are about. Watch this. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, here's what I want you to know. That's a vision statement. That's a purpose statement. That's Jesus' purpose statement. And you know what his purpose was? His purpose was to come to this earth to give glory to his Father by drawing all men to himself. That's what his purpose was on this earth. And so when we talk about our vision statement, this is what we mean: know Christ and make him known. It's the same passage in Matthew, only it's simplified so that we can remember. Well, the question that you should be asking, so what does that mean to know Christ? Well, let's find out. Here's the first thing. To know Christ means that you're in a right relationship with him. It means that you have received him as your personal Savior, and you are a child of God. Here's the second thing it means. It means that you walk with Jesus. Now, this is about peace, because when you're walking with Jesus, if you don't have peace, that's an indicator of your communion or your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the third thing: the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you became a follower of Jesus Christ, when you received what Jesus Christ has done for you, guess what? The Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. And what you simply need to do is to surrender to his control, because as you surrender his control, he'll convict you of your sin. He'll encourage you. When you don't know what to say, he'll give you the words to say, but he is the one that will speak your marching orders day in and day out directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the fourth thing. Fellowship with fellow believers. Now, there's a reason why I have fellowship with fellow believers. Your fellowship with one another is an indicator of this relationship. If you're not getting along with people, guess what? The problem is here. That's why the Bible says the gifts of the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's in community that we learn how we use those gifts, and we learn about those gifts in our lives. And then here's the last one. You're a growing believer. What does that mean? It means that you are passionately pursuing Jesus. You are going after him with everything that you have. In the morning when you wake up, he's the first thing you think about. During the day, you have a conversation with him all throughout the day. When things aren't going well, you're going to him, asking him for wisdom, asking him for advice. And at the end of the day, it said, okay, Lord, we've had a great day. Now can I go to sleep and I'll see you in the morning. That's what that means, to know Christ. Now, how do we do that here at Central Community? We do that in our worship services. We do that in our Sunday schools. We do that in our children's ministry. We do that in our youth ministry. We do that in our college ministry. We do that in our women's ministry. We do that in our men's ministry. We do that at Christmas time when we do all of the services. We do that at Easter time. All of these are ways that we know Christ. But what we're going to do in addition to that this year is we're going to give you other opportunities to grow in that knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're going to bring somebody in who's going to talk to us about apologetics. We're going to bring somebody in who's going to talk about evangelism. And the next thing that I want you to all sign up for is on February 14th and 15th, we're doing a marriage conference, a simulcast right here at Central Community. Now, we're starting with a marriage conference, and there's a reason for this. You know why? Because our marriages are a picture of the relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. And I want you to have strong marriages. I want you not just to have marriages that survive. I want you to have marriages that can thrive. This last week, I sat with six couples who are getting ready to get married in our new chapel. And I started out by talking. You know what your marriage is? It's a picture of the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. You have chosen to do it God's way. And since you've chosen to do it God's way, and if you do it God's way, you will not fail, and you will be an example to the rest of the world, right? Now think about this. This is about the vertical relationship. This is about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. This is about that God is sitting on the throne of my heart. This is about I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This is the today you will be with me in paradise. This is that God has, who has begun a good work in you, is going to bring it to completion. And God has called us as a church to come together to know Christ, because you cannot give away what you don't have. All right, so that's the first part, to know Christ. If somebody were to ask you, well, what does that mean to know Christ? Well, it simply means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What does it mean to know Christ? It means I'm a follower of Jesus. So what does it then mean to make him known? Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. How do we make him known? Here's the first reason. You need to know that Jesus appointed you by God. Here's the scripture verse. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. Did you hear what that verse says? The verse tells us that we've been chosen. You didn't choose God, he chose you. And if he chose you, ladies and gentlemen, that means that he has a purpose for you. Here's the next one. Jesus got approval from God, right? Look at the scripture verse here, same one. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. Now listen to me. God loves you. You were chosen by God. And he is approve of you. He is proud of you. He says, that's my son, Daryl. Oh, I'm proud of Daryl. He's one of mine. Oh, look over here at Cheryl. That's another one of my children. I am proud of her. Just like when Jesus went into ministry, what did God say to him? He says, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. And the same thing is for all of us. Vernon, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. Here's the next one. Jesus' accomplishment was assured by God. Here you go. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being. We have been chosen by God, and his promises, if we are obedient to him, we will be successful. One more. You don't have to do it alone. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God says that I will be with you, and you won't have to do it alone. So let's now look at, real quickly as we close, what this looks like here at Central Community. And what I want to do is I just want to share with you three goals that we have set as a church that we need your help in, okay? And here is the first one. The first one is this. In 2020, we want to be a church that reaches an attendance level of 2,500, okay? That's not including Christmas, and that's not including Easter. Now, here's something that I want to share with you about this. I know that a lot of times people think, oh, these pastors are all about numbers. Well, you know what? When I read scriptures, I see a lot of numbers. But here's what I want you to understand. It's not about the numbers. It's what the numbers do to us. It's the numbers, when we set the goal, they cause us to be mindful of the work that God has given us to do. Right now, on Sunday mornings, we average right around 2,000. How can we get that to 2,500 people? You know how? We invite them. Do you realize in our Christmas and all of our Easter different programs that we did on radio, we did on TV, we did newspapers, we did handouts, we did mailouts, we did all different things. And then we followed up with people. You know what we found out? Over 90% of the people came because somebody invited them. Over 90% of the people came because somebody invited them. And so here's what I want to do. Here's what we can do as a church. Number one is we need to take care of the people who are here. We need to love on the people who are here. One of the things that we have is we have what we call section leaders. Dave, you want to stand up? Okay. Dave is one of our section leaders. You know what he does? He's in charge of this section here. He knows all of them. And you know what his job is in the morning? Is when people come, his job is to welcome them and to build a relationship and let them know, we are glad you are here. As we're growing, we need more section leaders. If you want to be a section leader, go to guest service and say, hey, I want to be in that thing, that section leader that Pastor Bob is doing or talking about, because all you have to do is greet people and let them know that they are loved. The other day I was listening to, it was one of our members who'd been here for a while, and they said, you know, I was at this concert, and this individual, this gentleman was ahead of me, and I didn't know who he was, but I just saw tears flowing down his cheek. And he said, you know what? I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do. So when the service ended, I just stepped out in front of him and opened my mouth and I started talking. Here's what I want you to understand. There are people who are here in this room today who are here for the very first time. And my dear friends in Christ, I want them to come back. Don't you? And so now listen. So you know how we do that? We love them. We love them. My daughter-in-law and my son are looking for a church in Lawrence. And they had gone to a church that maybe wasn't one of the most popular churches, I don't know. But here's what happened. Afterwards, an elderly lady came up to my daughter-in-law, and you know what she said? She goes, I've been watching you, you and your husband. I want to tell you, you guys are great parents. I want you to know, and I just want to encourage you. You know what my daughter-in-law said? Guess where she wants to go to church that next week? Right back to where she's loved and she's cherished. People, look to the people to your right. Look to the people on your left. If you don't know them, reach out to them. And here's how I would suggest doing it. Hi, I'm not sure I know you, but my name is Bob.
My name is Dale.
Hi, Dale. And then it's simply, have you been going to this church for a while? Oh, I've been going here 20 years. Oh, man, I've made a new friend. I'm so glad I've met you. What if he says, no, this is my first time. Your first time? Oh, we're so glad you're here. You know what? Would you walk with me? I'd love you to take our guest services so that you can have a little bit more information about our church so that you can make a decision what is right for you. That's how we want to love one another. We've got to acknowledge that we're here, and we have to love on them, and we have to connect them to the body. And you watch how we're going to grow. Here's the next one. The next one is, we're going to baptize 250 people. Oh, excuse me. 249. Now, I want to tell you about how this happened, okay? Again, it's not about the number, but it's about what we're doing with the numbers, okay? So the other day, this last Tuesday, we were in our staff meeting, and I was talking to the staff, and I said, I would like for us to make a goal on baptism. God didn't let me sleep all night that night. And so I had to be obedient. I said, you know what? So how many do you think we can baptize? Oh, man, they threw out all kinds of numbers. And then finally, we thought, let's go with 250, and that's what we're going to do. Now, here's what I want you to understand about that. You should have seen the energy in that room. It was like the Holy Spirit just all of a sudden revealed himself, and people were excited. Pastor Bob, you could preach a message on that. We could have mass baptism. We could buy a baptismal font and baptize out in the pond, all kinds of things. The children's ministry said, hey, I can do a lesson on baptism, and we can all work on this together. Now, why is this important? Because this is people identifying with Jesus Christ. One last one. And the last one is this. We want to have 1,250 people in life groups. All right. Now, why is that? And I share with you a little bit about that. It's because that's what's called community. And you don't learn like you can in a life group on Sunday mornings. You can learn it in life groups. And in life groups, that's where we experience life together. This is where we build friendships. This is where we walk with people through difficult times in life. Just recently, we've had a couple members in our church that have passed away where the Lord has called home, and it's their life groups that have surrounded them. Remember, God has not called us to do ministry alone. He's called us to do it in community. All right. Well, let me close with this. I'm sorry I kept you so long. This is who we are. And you know what? Our purpose is we are about this church. We are all a part of this church. We are all a part of the body of Christ. But what I want you to know is that when you don't do your part, this is what it looks like. Can you see? There's a piece missing. And because that piece is missing, the full picture's not there. Now, I know what you're probably thinking is, okay, that's one piece. It's not going to make that big a difference. If you look at it from earth view, you're right. But what if you look at it from heaven's view? And all of a sudden, what we're doing here and the puzzle piece, I think it's just about me. And then I turn around and look, there's people's faces on there. God wants to use me and my gifts in this church to touch people's faces all over the world. That's how we need to see what God wants to do right here at Central Community Church. And I want to close with this. This past week, I overheard a conversation from a couple who just lost their 7-year-old boy. He was in a horse accident. And they were looking for a place that would teach them and help them work through their grief. They don't go to this church But you know where they're attending right now? For God to love on them and God to help them work through this grieving process, it's through our grief share on Tuesday nights. My dear friends in Christ, I believe that God is calling us to make a difference in the lives of this community and in this world. And if we all understand our part in this vision of knowing Christ and making him known, we will blow the doors off this people. But it begins with one thing, and that one thing is this. Where do you see your part in this picture? When the Lord comes and asks you, as he's done, to join us in redeeming a lost world, will you say yes?